Thank you all for coming. This is the regular meeting of the Bainbridge Island Civil Service Commission on December 13th. And we have in attendance Larry Dickerson from the department. We have a visitor in the public by the name of Robert Dashiel. Will, our counsel is here, and four of our current sitting commissioners are all here. So, and Kate, our secretary examiner. Call this meeting to order. First item of business, as usual, is the members of the commission to just explain whether they have any new conflicts of interest that have arisen, whether they want to report on any important communications or activities since the last meeting. And why don't we start with Rob?
No conflicts of interest. I attended one of the police department's roundtable meetings earlier this month. Found it enlightening, and the only other communication I had was a few treated emails with Ms. Hendrickson regarding some of our rules adoption and wondering if I could attend one of her collaboration meetings.
Okay. I have nothing to report.
And I have nothing to report.
And I, Bruce, have also went to the town hall meeting that the police department held, which was interesting, good attendance. And nothing to report other than Kate and I working on agenda items and things like that. Okay, moving on. Approval of the November 8th minutes. I believe everyone has already seen the final revised version of those minutes. And if anybody here doesn't have copies and would need some, speak up. Or if we have no questions or comments, we have a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, minutes are approved.
Thank you.
We now have a public comment period. Robert, I don't know if you have any open comments you want to make. No public comments. Moving on. Report by the Chief of Police, which in this case would be our friend Larry Dickerson.
Okay. What I'd like to do is maybe give you just last week's overview of criminal activity in the city, things that have happened. My goal eventually is to have a monthly report that will be available, and it'll have a lot of different types of information. We do have it on our webpage now, too. If you hadn't had an opportunity to look at, you'll see that it's October, but we have to wait until everything's in, so it's like we won't be able to put up even our November stats until the middle of this month, and then they go up. So it takes a little bit of time, but this is between December 5th and December 12th, and we had 214 calls for service. A sample of those calls were like we had 214, probably 35 of those generated police reports. The rest of them would have been, for instance, a noise disturbance, suspicious person, could have been a branch in the road that had to be removed, something like that that didn't generate a report. But during that period, we did generate 35 case reports, which would be like a burglary or theft or what of that type of nature. But we had threats. We had 4 neighborhood disputes. We had 4 traffic stops. We had 41 mental health investigations. We had 2 thefts. We had 12 suspicious incidents, which could be a person, a vehicle, or whatever. Could be a prowler. We had 12 of those patrol checks. We had, which would be like officers checking businesses and things like that. We had 13 of those, and then follow-ups, which would be like an officer assigned to a case that may have occurred the day prior. He goes back and does some follow-up for maybe the detective or the lieutenant. And we had 13 follow-ups. We're seeing more vehicle collisions, and I think it's probably due to the inclement weather. Fog, it's foggy, and there is a lot of traffic on the main highway out of town.
How many traffic stops did you say?
Traffic stops? 41.
40. Oh, I thought you said 4.
41. Wow. And, not necessarily, they from those traffic stops, they can generate a warrant arrest, they can warn the person for speeding, or they could issue a citation, that type of thing, or even arrest on some other type of charge. And a part of this also, we had 12 vehicle collisions during that period of time.
Wow. And Larry, this is the this is 2 weeks, basically.
This is the 5th of December through the 12th.
Oh, so that's less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so I thought this was like a month.
Okay. No, it's a week.
And so then we had, we actually had 5 warrants.
12 collisions?
12 collisions, yeah. We actually had one today, too, so far. We're starting to see more of them. And, you know, when people come off the, you know, a lot of them aren't residents here in the community. They're very traffic, things like that. In fact, where I'm staying, we had last Friday we had a head-on just down from where I'm staying. And then the week before, one rolled almost into the trailer park we're at. So I've seen some pretty bad ones out on 305 going out of town.
Are you at that Cedar?
Yeah, Cedar.
Okay, yeah, there was, what, three collisions there?
Yeah.
Rear end. I mean, it was just...
But these are bad collisions. I mean, the head-on was a bad collision. But getting back to this, though, then we had... the 12 collisions, 5 warrant arrests. We had 2 deceased body or deceased person calls, malicious mischief, 4 thefts, again, runaways, 2 domestic violence, felony assault. We had 1. We had 9 arrests, 1 DUI arrests, and then 2 MIPs, and of course the felony DV was an arrest also. Just to kind of give you an overview, but
7 days.
And eventually,
I'm not gonna drive again.
It's not that bad out there, though. But the officers are busy doing a lot of different things.
Among all those numbers, there's only some of the numbers. Add them all up, there's a lot of numbers. But there's only 1 DUI.
One DUI arrest, yeah, during that period. And some of those are generated by accidents too. You know.
Yeah.
You know,
that's great. I think.
I have two reactions to that. One is shock because I guess I had no idea the volume of stuff that the department handles. One thing that strikes me as interesting would be is you charted figures as to what number of people were involved were people passing through the island who are not island residents versus island residents. I'm not sure that's really relevant to your mission, but it's probably interesting to islanders, okay? But my overall reaction is people need to know this.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's kind of a perception
denial
on the island that it's a sleepy little place and why do we need more than one, you know, Andy Griffith cop. And, you know, this really is a telling story and, you know, you ought to give a call to Brian Kelly and say, you know, the editor of the review, and say, you know, I don't know if you know what's really going on here. It's not the police blotter.
Yeah, well, see, we give them access. They have access to the webpage. And if you go on our webpage, you'll see the whole month.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it gives you the total number of calls for service. And then it tells you the number of police reports that were generated. So when you go on the city's webpage, you click the police, and then you scroll down, and you can get that information.
For all the stuff that happens in traffic, the collisions, is that, I'm surprised that that's not alcohol related. Is that just people texting or medication? Or
you know, it could be cell phone texting. It could be just not paying attention.
Wow.
You know,
those numbers are scary.
Yeah, and they were given to me by the lieutenant. So,
okay, thank you.
And then we have a couple things here. Mm-hmm. Town hall meeting. We got a new one scheduled for the 18th of April. And then we had 2 SWAT operations. And the reason I talk about those is because we have 2 officers assigned to the SWAT team.
Mm-hmm.
We had one this week and one last week, which we participated in, and they were drug houses. Usually, is what they are, and they arrested 8 out of 1 house, and then they arrested 6 out of the other house. So,
not on the island.
No. These are near Bremerton, close to Bremerton, on the streets in Bremerton. And then the Lee Map study, you're probably all aware of that. You know, that's what, the 9th and 10th, I believe, they're going to be here to start that.
I don't think that we haven't talked about that.
I think I've heard it, but I couldn't tell you what it was. Give us a quick
Well, question. It's put on WASP, the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs. And what they do is they put together a team of loaned executive management assistants. And they come into a department. It's like an accreditation where they review the files of the operations to see, are we doing evaluations? Do we have goals and objectives?
It's a performance audit.
Yeah, and a lot of this kind of stuff here is stuff is part of it. And it takes 2 days, and then I think, is it like a month for the report to come back, or 2 months?
I don't know, Larry.
Yeah.
Something like that. But
yeah.
The city manager wants to use it to inform the selection of the police chief. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is it voluntary?
No, we pay for it.
But
is
it's
required in some...
You know, it's up to the city.
It's not required.
Okay, so it's just something that we're doing to get more of a handle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, any questions for Larry?
I just had a couple questions. Looking over the next year, do you can you give us an idea, and you can take until January and come back to this. We're trying to get an idea of what our future hiring needs may be.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an idea of how many new police officers that we may be considering hiring, or if there's an evidence technician position that may become open, school resource officers, and just kind of give us an idea as we look forward next year on what we may need to plan for hiring panels or questionnaires and things like job description updates and things as we look forward.
You know, I think in that same communication to your officers, we've heard that there are some people who are poised for retirement. I think you must have times when you address the whole group, and to let them know that the more warning that they give is the more they're helping their fellow officers not be burdened by low staffing. In other words, they're doing this directly for their rank and file to help them be well staffed, and so that's another interesting thing to get as good warning as we can.
Okay. Most of them, at least I can't speak for this department, but I can speak for others, usually they give 6 months, usually at least a 6 month notice. I'm not saying that happens all the time, but you know, I mean, but we do have you put together a good entry level list. You know, we are going to use that. We have, you know, still lateral to look at too. So we do have people there. You've given us folks.
Any other non-police officer positions that you can project out over the next year, or that you may have budgeted for?
Money's tight.
Yeah. And there was discussion in the past about a grant-funded school resource officer, or a position that the salary would be split between the city and the school district, or would be offset by the government. Any updates on that at all?
No, we've talked about that, but this year we didn't ask for any personnel, only because there was money needed in other areas more than we needed. But we still have two openings that we have to fill. That's what we're trying to do.
Thank you.
Okay, other questions? Larry, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Before we move on, let me make two announcements. One is, given that it's a season where people exchange chocolates, a client of mine brought me some chocolates, so please dig in.
Thank you.
Robert, you're welcome to belly up to the table if you'd like some chocolate.
Yeah.
The chewing is silent. It won't bother you.
They do not exceed the $50 gift limit.
Yeah.
No, I got them as a private attorney, not as...
Yeah.
Second of all, I want to just take a moment out of the meeting to acknowledge that the city's attorney, who was also our attorney, has announced that he's moving on to retirement, I guess.
That's the plan.
That's the plan, huh? Okay, you're going to go fishing a lot?
This is the third time I will have retired.
Well, I think I just wanted to say for the record how much we've appreciated all the help you've given us over this first year for all of us as new commissioners, and really been appreciative of the support for the Civil Service Commission.
Well, thank you. And I appreciated working with the new Civil Service Commission.
Yeah, we've tried to stay on track, and we think your help has been crucial in us succeeding, and we wish you the best in
thank you.
Whatever you do next.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll be back.
Thank you, Will.
Yeah.
Bruce, I think Robert had a question.
Oh, yeah, Robert.
Well, I would like to ask Larry if the accidents, I'm always interested in how many are 305 State Highway and how many are on Greenway. Do you plot that, or do you have any map?
I can get that. You know, I can get that if you...
I'm just curious.
I think it would be interesting to see, and I'll get that for you. Stop down at the station.
Yeah, questions anytime are welcome here. Okay, moving on. Kate, you have a report on
the activities you're working on.
Yep. Two things quickly that aren't related to my role as the chief examiner, but just to say that the city council approved the budget last night at their council meeting. So I don't think there were any changes to the proposed budget for the police department and what was approved. And then also the city manager issued a request for proposals for police chief recruitment services. And those are due next Friday the 21st. So he will select a firm to handle the recruitment of the police chief. So I'll keep you posted on that.
So I thought they were going to use some governmental services group.
That's what Larry was talking about earlier. Originally, they talked about doing a department management study. And so this LEMAP program through the Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs is a replacement of the management study. That is the government. That's probably what you're thinking of. It's
okay.
This loan.
It's not actually the search itself.
Right. So they're going to be doing the review of the department on a, I think, probably smaller, faster, quicker scale than another firm would do a full-blown management study. So that's what that is. So I will keep you informed. In terms of what's going on in civil service world, we have, at the moment, we have 96 entry-level applicants and that's everybody through November 3rd. Mm-hmm. That was the last day of the old test, that public safety testing. So I just wanted to let you know there's 96 people on that list. We will talk, I'm sure, in January about how we want to deal with the transition between the old and the new test. So,
is that on our on-deck list?
It is, yes. The job analysis process, I did receive all of the questionnaires from all the officers. So I have not had any time to do anything with them. I think we'll see how we go in the next 6 months or so. I mean, I'm definitely going to make the time, but I think I certainly didn't put as much time into the rules revisions as you guys did, but this definitely took up a little bit of my time. So I think when we're planning out our activities, it will probably be helpful to figure out what I need to, which things I'm working on with you, and then make sure that I'm not too overlapped, because I just haven't had a chance to do that at all. So, I would like to.
You know, Kate, speaking personally, it doesn't surprise me, particularly with the new city manager involved, that things are in flux.
Yes.
And that means everybody's working harder to reorganize and to respond to new requests. And so we're, I'm sure, understanding of that. We just want to, you know, have that conversation in
right.
terms of the tasks that we'd like you to do, and if the resources are not there in terms of your time, we need to know that,
right?
And we can figure out ways to adjust.
Yep. Okay. I just wanted to be clear with you that, you know, we had asked for them to return those to us by a certain date, and I haven't been able to move to the next step yet, but I plan to do that. And then lastly, we received one application for the vacant position on the commission. The interview has not been held yet. The council members who are going to do the interview have not confirmed the date yet, so I'll keep you posted on that, but hopefully we'll have somebody soon.
Okay. I don't know if I can speak for the other commissioners, but if you could, it would be great to extend an invitation to the new city manager to come to one of our meetings. I know he's got 100 things, 100 people he's trying to meet, but we'd love to get to know him and have him get to know
mm-hmm.
us, and with no particular agenda other than just to further communication.
Sure. I will check.
You did pass through briefly.
We had a hello. That's right.
That's right.
I appreciate that.
Well, I'll check January and February and see if one of those will work for him and put it on his calendar.
Okay.
Right.
All right. I had one HR-related question.
Yes.
It occurred to me that with the new law that passed to decriminalize marijuana usage in the state of Washington, what is there a citywide policy if we need to adjust our hiring requirements for police officers with that new decriminalization? Is that something that the city's doing citywide, or is there going to be a guidance from the Attorney General's on how employers are now changing that? Still against federal law, but
mm-hmm.
how do we address that in looking at police hirings or any other civil service code of police hirings?
Right. Our labor attorney has advised us on some slight modifications to our employment policies, but still prohibited substance, and you know, you can't be under the influence of it at work or just as before, but it just clarifies with the new legislation that it hasn't changed. So I can...
But there may be effects on background investigations,
mm-hmm.
and hiring criteria based on a change of
mm-hmm.
the way marijuana use is viewed.
Right. And you've already changed it this year.
Right, and I just want to make sure we're still in compliance with the law change,
mm-hmm.
with what we did bring into effect is still...
Are disqualifiers?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
so
our hiring
disqualifiers.
If I remember right, what we did is we adjusted either the duration or the number of offenses that we were, a number of years over which offenses were a problem.
Yeah.
But I think we still included to convictions.
Mm-hmm.
That
I think
correct?
I thought it was use because last time around there was somebody that had to withdraw from the interviews because he read the disqualifiers and realized that he, I think, had some usage within two or three years. I can't remember.
So it says usage?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still an issue for, it depends on your rule changes, but it's still an issue for people who violate the law when it was against the law.
Right.
But that goes to Rob's point that now that the law is changing, as time moves forward,
uh-huh.
it moves forward.
Yeah,
care.
It's
going
to change the meaning of the action.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
Just
maybe,
something to be
yeah.
aware of.
Well, we might want to just when we look at it, take another look at that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think that's another future item.
Okay.
Even care in the first place.
All right. We are, next item on the agenda is to talk about the rules amendments, and as you all know, we've been working through these and spending a lot of time and trying to, while not make them perfect, because that's a job beyond the scope of our current resources, but to address a lot of the inconsistencies internally as well as the inconsistencies of city law. And I think we are at what I believe is the final step, but obviously subject to everyone's approval and comments. Just to remind you of what we've got in front of us, each of you commissioners should have a red line draft that is just the changes since the public comment period.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that says amended and restated as of November 14 for discussion at December.
And I didn't bring that one.
You didn't.
I apologize.
Right.
I did the final that shows everything from the very beginning.
All right. Well, I have a copy here
of
that one if people need to look at it. But and maybe we just look right, go right to the final. The point I'm making is that if you remember, we gave a provisional or temporary
mm-hmm.
or tentative
mm-hmm.
approval
mm-hmm.
to all the changes up to the comment period.
Mm-hmm.
Then in response to the comments we got, we made a series of additional changes. Rob put a lot of work into a couple of those sections. And we got to a point where...
That's reflected in this.
And that's reflected in this partial red line draft. Rob and I got to a point as a subcommittee that we want to recommend to the commission those final changes. And then Kate incorporated those into a master red line draft, which, if we're ready to approve, can be attached to a resolution of approval.
Which was the main section that you worked on, Rob?
Your temporary and provisional officers primarily.
10.7.
Yeah, 10.6 needs now the new.
I know. It's really, it really is 10.7. But the numbering
will
not fix until we accept all the changes.
We'll get to the approval process, but don't worry about the numbers. This is going to make sure that things are good. Same on the public comment.
We haven't received anything else from the public or the field. Or
no.
Since these were posted.
Right.
If you want, I can walk through. There aren't that many. I can walk through the red lines in this post-comment draft.
I would appreciate that.
Okay.
So I can remember our discussion, but
sorry.
I'd like to look
okay.
at the final draft before I give my...
Let's go back. Let's start from the beginning, then, of course. And then you can look on the master one. I'll point out what are the new
okay.
things. Okay. First is in Rule 4.4, and this is the adjustments to the definition of provisional versus temporary.
Okay.
And Rob, chime in if I'm maybe stating this wrong, but
what we heard mainly from DiGiulio was that the essence and the difference between provisional and temporary is that a provisional person is someone who's stepping in for a short period of time on an existing vacancy that's a position in the budget and in the staff that needs to be temporarily filled, as opposed to a, quote, temporary person who is stepping in to provide covered civil service services but not taking a role that's already funded and in the organizational chart. Am I saying that correctly, Will?
I think so, yeah. I think the example of somebody on military leave is a good example to illustrate that.
Right.
That in a temporary context, person his position is preserved, but you need somebody to fill in while that person is gone. But the person expected to come back.
And that would be a provisional appointment.
I understood that.
I thought it was provisional.
Rob, didn't we confuse?
I don't know.
The provisional would be utilized to, I thought it was just that if the individual was mobilized to active duty service and needed to backfill that position, that was a provisional position. Temporary would be working the summertime and we needed added officers for the 4th of July parade.
So it's not an unfilled position, it's a need for added service.
Additional service for a very temporary limited period of time. A drug task force or something like that is for a very temporary need.
And that's what DiGiulio told us, and the change that we made to this rule was to try to be consistent with that and move some of the subparagraphs into the temporary category rather than where they were in the provisional category.
And I think what we've got to is, regardless of what you call them, provisional or temporary, the requirements to fill that position are going to be the same.
Yeah.
That was the thing that we wanted to harmonize.
And so when it comes right down to it, 4.4 isn't anywhere near as important as 10.7. So jump to 10.7 for a second. And the key to the changes there are actually in 10.8 and 10.9. Where we are very basically incorporating what is in the law already, that whether they're temporary or provisional, they have to be CJTC certified, and they have to have not been out of law enforcement for longer than a set period of time of 12. They have to have 12 months experience, but with no more than 24 consecutive month break. And those are, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, really reflected in what's become law.
Yes, it's in the CJTC certification requirements for.
And we had some public comments specifically saying, since that is an important, in fact, even a hot button for some people, that we were convinced that it was good to actually state it in the rules.
Okay.
Then the second piece of the puzzle was the term of the appointments, but again, temporary and provisional are the same. Mm-hmm. Period of 4 months, which can be extended upon request of the chief of police, or if, in our opinion, we think it's warranted. But specifically, they have to stop using that temporary or provisional class of person 45 days after notice that we actually have people on the registry who are potentially qualified. And that's the concept being, as soon as we have a registry, mm-hmm. they're supposed to get going and trying to fill that spot with someone permanent.
I think that's great. I think you've done a good job of tidying that up.
And of course, I think it's an important thing, again, for the public sense of comfort. The commission may revoke a prior temporary or provisional appointment at any time if the opinion of the commission, the best interest of this classified service or the city would be served. So unlike a typical officer, because they're on a temporary or provisional basis, we can respond to the public if there's a substantively based complaint. And that gives us a little bit of independence. Obviously, we're not going to take those actions without a lot of consultation with you guys. But I think it's important for that backstop to be there.
That's great. Good job.
And I know it was brought up at the town hall meeting as well that anybody that may fill these positions are going to have to go through the exact same background investigation and requirements that any police officer hired in the city has been. Background check, criminal history, polygraph, psychological, all of that. There will be no difference between these positions as far as qualifications and certifications and requirements as everyone else gets certified.
And Rob, there was one other thing that you found in the law somewhere that I thought was fascinating was that when you, based on that fact, I said, I thought to myself, what if there's a true emergency and we suddenly have a need for 30 people doing law enforcement activities because the bridge has fallen down and the ferries are not working? And you found some statutory authority for the fact that in that level of emergency, a lot of these requirements are not applicable. And so practical on-the-ground decisions can be made as necessary. This is not limiting our emergency responsibility or department's responsibility.
Falls under the state of emergency, and the governor steps in and there's mutual aid agreements, and you can fly peace officers or National Guard in or whatever, maybe.
Or yeah. Western movies.
Yeah,
you create a posse.
A posse.
Oh, I like that. I want a horse.
Militia.
Like, yeah, we need to have
Other changes that were specific to public comment. Actually, this one in 10.5, the duration of certification, and that was actually something that Kate suggested. We moved it from 6 months to 3 months, and the commission may extend the certification for additional 30 rather than 60 days. And we talked with Larry about that a couple of meetings ago, the idea being that there's a certain period of time that the department can effectively, within 3 months plus an additional 30 days, is enough time to come to a conclusion of whether somebody belongs on the list. And if we were forced to keep them on for 6 months, we're just simply plugging up the list with stuff that is no longer valuable. So that was an attempt to just tighten that time frame.
So just to clarify, though, they're still on the eligible register for a year.
Yes.
It's just when they are in sort of the top three and they get sent to the department for review, that's the part where they get sent.
Right, so they won't be on the department's list.
Right.
And if they fall off of the department's list, they go back on the eligible register and they may be recycled in and you may get them again because
mm-hmm.
they're part of the top
yep.
three. But at least they won't be sitting on your desk,
right.
on Larry's desk. In 11.6 and 14.7, there was just some clarifying language that protests and appeals do not actually go to the secretary, they go to the commission via notice mm-hmm. to the secretary. That's again going back to that, trying to make clear the secretary's role versus the commission's role.
Mm-hmm.
And appeals don't go to the secretary, they go to the commission.
Mm-hmm.
In 18.4, we added just a reference to the commission's direction of the secretary
mm-hmm.
in order to issue orders for compelling discovery and other investigatory trial techniques. And the last thing I would mention, which we did not change, is the burden of proof. And there was a lot of discussion, particularly from some of the officers, as well as some public comment, and that was... Am I
18.11.
And the issue here is the burden of proof on an appeal to the commission of a disciplinary action. And this section always has said in the last sentence that, quote, any other hearing shall have a burden of proof by preponderance of the evidence. And what we did is we added that reference of preponderance of the evidence to an appeal
mm-hmm.
on the first sentence. So it didn't seem like a revolutionary change when we made it to suggested it originally. The concern by the department was that they wanted a higher standard. And the answer back was that we asked Will to research what the standard would be applicable to an arbitration appeal, which is the parallel to what we would do.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed intuitive to us all at the time that it made sense that those two appeal standards should mesh, and Will came back with two things from after consulting with the labor attorney expert. One is that on arbitrations out of the collective bargaining agreement, the preponderance of the evidence would be the standard applicable.
Normally, yes. It's
and
not in the bargaining agreement itself.
You could bargain for something different,
yeah. and
but it's not in our case.
Some arbitrators might interpret it differently in a particular case, but the norm and the standard is preponderance.
And guess based on that, you know, the recommendation of Rob and I as the drafting subcommittee is that we stick with the preponderance of the evidence that seems appropriate, and given the application of that standard to almost, you know, probably 90% of all legal proceedings, it seems appropriate for that in that regard as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the issues that were addressed with regard to the public comment. If you then go to, first of all, any questions or comments, mm-hmm. commissioners or anyone else? You then go to the master red line that Kate prepared. This document incorporates all of those changes plus all of the changes that we had tentatively approved.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the master document. There's only a couple of additional things I point out here. One is I'm recommending that when we finally get to approve this, we add a subscript at the bottom that says amended and restated as of
yes.
our approval date so that when people historically pull these papers out, we know what the amended pages mm-hmm. are. And as time goes on, if we make additional amendments, that we should always note that at the footer of the page so that there's never confusion as to what is the current active document. So that's one thing.
Is that on my footer in the one I sent you? We had that up
there. It could be. I'm
sorry.
Yeah.
It is on your on the one that was
okay.
the
yeah, sorry. I will add that.
It needs to be added
to the final.
I think there should also be something that lists the subcommittee and the members of the commission and Kate's name and just kind of put that in there also so that people know who's worked as well.
Comments on that? I have some reactions, but William, Rob, what do you think of that?
My thought is that, yes, and we appreciate that from a recognition standpoint, but this is the work of the entire commission, that it's the whole body that is finally approving this in Samsung. So I think it's all of our names, or just the Civil Service Commission of
okay.
And yeah, I think having a legislative history makes a lot of sense somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, who the persons were responsible for it, I'm not sure is necessary in the publication itself. I think what will be there is in the record if anyone cares to pursue it, to go to the legislative history or files and find out the meeting minutes when it was approved, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Voted in favor than voted against.
I just think it's interesting.
And I guess my question, Linda, were you thinking of it would indicate it was approved on such a day by the vote of such and such folks? Or would you say that the rules have to be changed every time the commission changes, that lists the current commission?
I just, you know, it's one of the things I do a lot of, we all do a lot of research where, you know, it's always interesting for me when I'm looking at a document to be able to then look back to the authors. I mean, it just kind of helps me when I'm looking at any type of a document. So that's just my historical, you know, I'd like to have Will's name on it too, you know. And I don't know if it'd be appropriate to have an acknowledgement to the prior commissions that gave us the original document, but I think that's just interesting. I don't, you know, it's not to give us any type of glory. I think it's just interesting. So that's all. I mean,
That stuff obviously is available in public record, even if it's not.
I know if somebody wants to dig for it, but it's like one of the, and the city doesn't, to my knowledge, do a lot of this, but. I think it's really interesting, and we don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but I think it'd be great if we had somewhere in City Hall pictures of all the past councils, you know, and I think that there have been some wonderful members of the commission, and it would be nice to just, you know, this was the original commission and this, I mean, I think it's just part of who
we don't
we
have
are.
That in City Hall somewhere, all of the
people
old
like. People like that too. Like
well, it's. I'd like to, if I went on a tour of the police department, I'd like to see a picture of all of our police chiefs, you know, because I've known most
of
them.
We got Ann Lacy, we're all hanging there.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, we don't, that,
yeah.
that's,
yeah.
it's a real.
Nice phrase there.
Yeah.
But
see, yeah,
they all do the council, they all do the mayor.
There's an archive.
Yeah.
But But I think that really humanizes. I mean, it's like one of the things that if we ever get to it on the website, we should have little pictures of us and little bios and, you know, contact information, because it's part, one of the things that always happens in...
I think you might discourage participation.
No. No, we can have funny faces. But you, one of the things that happens with City Hall is you get all these barriers and barriers and barriers. And one of the, you know, the efforts that I think we all need to make is to lower those barriers and make it more accessible. And it's a real dynamic, because the more accessible City Hall is, the slower City Hall is. And that, but that's just my two cents. I'm not emotionally invested in it. I just think that that would humanize this a little bit. So there. And having said that, I think that we can move to adopt this. I think it's an excellent piece of work.
All right. Well, let me point out a couple more little, not typographical, but little formatting changes that will be in the final document.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, it looks in 3.5.
Yep.
We've got a subparagraph 3.51, but it's a standalone subparagraph. If everybody approves, I think we should just incorporate into 3.5.
Okay.
Just because I'm never a fan of multiple sub-numbered
paragraphs, right,
and there's only one. Then in paragraph 7.5, we have a couple of places where the paragraph numbering got screwed up just because word automatic paragraph numbering always screws things up.
I can tell you, I messed around with it for so long, and when I accepted the changes, it was right.
It was right.
So it will be fine in the final.
I just want you to note on this that we're not approving this misnumbered paragraph.
Right.
And the same is true in 10, 7, and 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We assume the formatting will be corrected.
Yeah. And the last thing I would bring up is, go to 8.16. And this is not something we've talked about before. Just, if I could ask you all just to read 8.16, does that really say what we in fact do?
Is my numbering the same here as yours? Additional examination?
Yes, additional examination, 8.16. Lays out basically the requirement to do all the additional testing that the department does, polygraphs, etc.
Did that come from us?
First of all, I didn't know that was our charge per se, and I thought that was interesting. But then the second to last sentence says, reports of such examination shall be filed with the commission in the event the findings of the examination recommend that the eligibility be rejected. I don't think we do that, do we, Kate?
I thought that was all after people had passed through our...
The results of the examination themselves do not live with the commission. They live in the human resources files, but the department makes a written, you know, request to have somebody removed, and they will discuss the results of the examination in that request. But the documents themselves are not housed in the commission file.
I read it as the report of the actual examination, but not the examination and findings itself.
Okay, yeah, so there you go.
It just struck me as I didn't know whether it diverged so far from reality that it needed addressing, but I looked to Will to comment, and other than that, I'm just bringing it up as the last thing that hit me.
I think you should just leave it the way it is.
Okay. Unless anybody has any other thoughts. I don't think it's so far from reality that it's a problem.
Okay,
that's all my comments, and again, public member Dashiell, if you have any thoughts or comments on this?
One thing, I haven't put it this, I don't want to be a pain here, but if you have a provisional or a temporary officer, and you have what's a 45-day rule? Once you've got a certificate, they can only stay there for 45 more days. Can you get somebody on the street in 45 days? Because it seems to me like if you have a provisional or a temporary officer, the reason you have that is because you need somebody on the street. And so my question would be, you know, would you, after 45 days, would you have to take that person off the street, or what happens?
Let's think about that.
provided that an extension may be granted by the commission.
Okay. Which number are you looking at again?
10.6.2.1.
Okay, I think we've reached the milestone of approving these changes en masse, if everybody is agreeable. And what I would propose is that we literally make a motion that approves the changes as outlined in the red line draft. Dated, or is it not dated?
Yes.
As marked for discussion on December 13th.
So moved.
Seconded.
Last comments?
Well done.
To all of you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. We actually achieved this project before the calendar fell.
Wow.
Yes, I think that's good.
All right. Now let me add a footnote. You had asked, as a result of the last meeting, when Steve DiGiulio provided some advice,
yes,
that I provide you with a proposed ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Pursuant to his suggestion, I contacted him over a week ago, and he was unable to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm looking for is language from him as the, quote, master
mm-hmm.
of this, and the fact that he suggested it. So let me give you I didn't say this when he was talking, but my feeling is it's unnecessary, but you may want this. But I am much more of a minimalist.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of trying to see how legislation is drafted than Steve is.
Okay.
So you may want to consider it. I will try to get that to you before I leave.
In your opinion, do we need it?
No.
Okay. I'll follow
but
your
that's,
opinion.
But you may look at it and decide otherwise.
Well, presumably DiGiulio has a professional judgment that there's at least some risk that
yeah.
the discretion of the commission to act outside of the RCW is somehow possibly not as broad as it could be without this language addition. He's talking about one sentence.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I didn't want to write it, because I'm not sure
what the
objective is or how he would perceive it should be written.
Right.
That's why I asked him.
Okay. Well, maybe when you, if you get it before you go, you can just run it to Kate. Kate can send it to
yes,
us.
I will.
And then we can all kind of...
In fact, I'll draft the ordinance and the agenda.
Great, that'd be good.
If I get it.
And,
okay.
Kate, is there any... So at this point, removing the red lines, creating the final document,
yes.
adding the...
Footer.
The footer mm-hmm. with the legislative note,
mm-hmm.
Putting it up on our website as our permanent rule,
yep.
sending us all clean copies.
Yep, sending it to the chief and everybody in the department that falls under...
So you'll do the cleanup documentation,
yep.
archiving, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Appreciate
Exciting.
It.
Exciting.
All right. Good work. Thank you,
yeah.
folks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next is to talk about the upcoming calendar for next year and what we still need to do. Kate, do you want to lead this conversation, or
oh,
how do you want to?
Oh, sure. Well, I just thought you might like to see everything that you've done. Well, this isn't even everything. We didn't really start doing the calendar, did we, until April, so.
Yeah.
But didn't, I think there were 19 meetings or something this year. I can't remember.
Extra special.
Yeah.
They're all extra and special.
Uh-huh. So that's impressive. I thought I'll just leave that on there. And then I haven't even, as you can see, started plotting anything for 2013 because I thought you'd want to discuss that. So it seems to me, in terms of order, we're going to want to talk about the written test fairly early on in the year and what we plan to do.
We're looking at the on-deck list.
On the right,
on
the last
page.
Uh-huh.
So the new PST written test, well, I don't think that we have any, it's not like there's a particular deadline that's
no.
burning us right now,
no.
but it is something we need to, we're in the transition phase already.
Right.
And we ought to be discussing that with a little more detail than we did just briefly that time.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of prioritizing the order of things,
right.
what next on the list would you recommend, Kate? Or does anybody else want to chime in?
I think the commission should complete the discussion or conversation about lateral requirement to take a written test. I'm not sure if we really mm-hmm. didn't really close that out. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be useful to talk about that some more and then make a decision if there's a change.
I agree.
And I think that can be tied in with the hiring preference factors.
Yep.
There.
And that's the position profile, right? Is that the same thing?
No, I think this talked about whether or not we would consider, because there's some law that says the only preference factors that you can give a veteran.
Oh, right. Yes.
But whether or not you wanted to give preference points for reserve status
right.
as a police officer or any other factors.
That's right. Okay.
So really, that's a question of what might those list of factors be, and are they legal to consider?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been told, I think by somebody authoritative, that we cannot favor people just because they live on the island,
right.
for example, or just because they have a history of being island
mm-hmm.
resident. Well, that might make sense,
mm-hmm.
but we can't do it.
Right. Okay, and then
I
was going to say I would like to put the position profile that's following the job
mm-hmm.
analysis, so map that on the calendar as well. Once you have an updated job description, then you can use that to develop the key.
Is
this
somebody that's not on the list or something?
Correct.
Position profile.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any of these that we can remove?
Probably. Budget could probably come off
okay.
unless.
Yeah, I think we.
And what about the secretary's thing? Did they take care of that? I think they're going to entertain. Where is that? I just saw it.
I don't see it.
Address issue
yeah,
of independence of secondary review of related city codes. Yeah, I feel like that's
yeah.
what the rule amendments were about.
Right.
I mean, obviously,
mm-hmm.
it's
largely
it's,
right.
it's an issue that's still alive and may come back, but I'm not sure it's something
that's
that we've
right.
got on our plate at this point. The annual report to the city. Let me just say that Kate produced sort of a bullet list of accomplishments for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to try to draft that into some sort of narrative text.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, is that next on our agenda?
I didn't put it on the agenda.
Oh.
I thought it would be part of this conversation.
Okay. So I want to get your all input on what we're doing. I'm assuming we're going to want to make a 10-minute presentation to the council
mm-hmm.
just to sort of close the loop on what the first year was all about, let them
mm-hmm.
know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to draft up a draft of what that would look like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm imagining it's a 2-page at most, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy to stand up and deliver it, but I don't feel that it's necessarily my prerogative or I'm...
As chair, you should.
Yeah,
good
for me.
Definitely. That's fine. I'm happy to do that. Obviously, any of us could be there or just me, whatever you wanted to do. So
let us know what it is so we can...
Well, that's
we
the next question.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. We talked about it this week. probably any of the meetings towards the end of the month. I mean,
January.
Yeah, towards the end of January. I know they're not having a meeting the first week in January, so the 16th, 23rd, or 30th would probably the 23rd or 30th would be best.
I think I could probably do either of those.
It's probably good to have a written report available to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when's our next meeting?
It is the 10th.
Okay. Well, if I circulate that report and we approve it,
mm-hmm.
talk about it
at the 10th, and then it can go to the council package for. The meeting of
mm-hmm.
let's just pick one and ask to get on it. What
the
number?
16th or the 23rd?
Let's go the 23rd.
Okay.
Okay. So
I'll make that request.
And can we pull the taping of that off and make it a separate video that we can put on the website?
I'm not sure. I'll find out.
Okay. So I will circulate that before the next meeting, and then we'll deliberate it at the next meeting.
Would we want to have the potential new city code that we'll just put in draft at that same time?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think if we're coming to the attention of the council, we should do those
that's
things
right.
together if we're going to do it.
they'll want more than one reading of it,
right.
But this is time to introduce it.
Introduction. So we'll know hopefully by the end of this month whether we're going to do that anyway, and we can discuss that. If Will comes out with a recommendation one way or the other, we can discuss that at the 10th as well. So
mm-hmm.
let's add that.
Okay.
And Bruce, this might be a place to put the names of people who drafted the rule
mm-hmm.
change, which is a major accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And the names of the members, including Steve's, during
mm-hmm.
that time.
Yeah, I miss Steve.
I also provided him the names of all the volunteers that have helped, besides you, obviously your volunteers too, but the additional volunteers
mm-hmm.
that have participated.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of help from the community this year.
That's a
great.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll try to wrap all that into
mm-hmm.
a good statement, and you guys can take a look at it.
So are we still looking at the on deck?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are.
Right. What to add? I think I don't know how far down the road it is, but this issue maybe it comes up with hiring preference, but not hiring preference. The disqualifications with
mm-hmm.
And so that's going to. I don't know whether we'll have a better picture of that 6 months or when.
Probably toward the end of next year when the Liquor Control Board develops its rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are more settled into what they're doing.
I've seen a lot of emails flashed around from city attorneys.
Well, let's add it to the list here.
Yep.
And then let's also add Larry's projections about the staffing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that may just probably
2013 staffing changes,
In terms of things that I feel like, well, let me ask, how do you all feel about the website? Is that something that needs attention? Is it significant attention that needs expert help? Is it just, is there a list of things? Should we each of us look at the website and then come back to Kate at next meeting with what we think it needs or might have?
I think that would be a good idea, because isn't that an entry point for a lot of the people that are thinking to apply with us?
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to see how it addresses whatever it needs to address.
I have to admit that I haven't given it a very detailed perusal. I just haven't paid attention to it, but
mm-hmm.
in this day and age, you would think it'd be a major
mm-hmm.
presentation piece.
Unfortunately, the city's website is elderly.
In terms of its capability.
Yeah.
What can be moved to a new platform?
You say
that
so easily.
Yeah.
I move to a new platform periodically. You just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to put the website, if we're creating a list of things that come first versus things that come later,
mm-hmm.
I would put the website in the first, in the hierarchical position.
Okay.
And I think that's makes sense, because I think our priority should be If we need recruitment,
right.
to focus on those elements that will spur
mm-hmm.
recruitment, and that may be one of them. But the thing that should be kind of on the top of our agenda all the time is, how are our lists? Are we getting applicants?
Yeah.
Are we scheduling interviews fast enough? Do we have enough folks up
mm-hmm.
to fill the vacancies?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the ongoing nuts and bolts. Yep.
The ongoing nuts and bolts, right. And I think the website may play a role in meeting those demands.
I think the first one can come off, meeting schedule. That's pretty much done.
Okay, I agree.
And next summer we'll ask about when, you know, people have vacations planned. You know, obviously throughout the year you can let me know if you know you're going to be gone.
Oh, that's the other thing. According to our newly amended rules, January is when we pick officers. And they're appointed for a year, and I'm ready to hand the mantle over to somebody else. Bob had said that he was open to being that person. We don't need to decide that, because technically we're supposed to decide that next meeting.
Yeah, we can talk about it.
But obviously, we can talk about it now, and if anybody's interested in taking the role of chair, that'd be great. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I think Rob would be a magnificent chair. You've done an incredible job, Bruce, and I think that you've set the standard, and I think all of us have learned a lot. I think that Rob would be a wonderful chair to carry forward, and we should see who else is going to, you know, it's always nice when somebody is going to come, the new person might be a good vice chair.
You never know.
We might make them so now, and they get in that position and go, well.
You know, if Linda kind of prompted me, or Nick stepping up to, you call the vice president, I was ready to be vice president, but it's actually, I guess, vice president.
We can call it whatever you want.
And I'm somewhat reluctant to do it, but if someone needs to do it, I'm happy to do it. So if our new member is not chomping at the bit for that, then.
Actually, if that could be our slate, you and Rob, that would be pretty wonderful. I mean, that would just be pretty wonderful.
I'd be happy with that. All right, well, let's, with that preliminary conversation, we'll
make that so.
Put that on the agenda for next meeting.
Yeah, I will. And I may be wrong, and hopefully I'm not jinxing us, but I predict 2013 will not be as busy as 2012. That'll be a good year to do that.
Well, we had to do a lot of scrambling when
there
we started.
Oh, yeah, a lot of building
and,
blocks.
I'm pretty happy the way it worked out, so I think you've got a good foundation for the next.
It'll be a lot of fun to do that operation manual.
Well, and I keep pitching that, and Kate.
I was waiting for you to mention it.
And I know Kate wakes up at 3 in the morning going, operation manual, operations manual. Oh, no.
I gotta get to it. No, I do. It's on my radar.
It's a really wonderful way to take all the work that's been done and quantify it.
Yeah.
And there has been so much that's been done as far as procedure and protocol, and it'll remind us of what we've done and what else needs to be done. Otherwise, a lot of that stuff slips away.
Yeah, it's a great way to, list of practice tips and hints for smooth operations.
Yeah.
Just a place for all the random notes that you've learned over the year to not be lost.
Right,
right.
And we need that before you get hit by a bus.
Yeah.
Sorry to be morbid about it, but
it's true.
I mean, it's now all in your brain and in your files.
Yeah, it's not
so
good.
So I appreciate everyone's support for that idea,
because
I think it's important. So
I do have a question for the relationship plan. I think that the commission has done a lot over the last year, and the department has too, in trying to rebuild that trust with the public and city. Larry, do you think having a member of the commission sit on your round tables or at your town halls would be beneficial as part of that panel? We're in the audience, but I'm wondering if there's, it could be benefited, that we're in this together and we're sitting side by side.
I think that would be a good idea. In fact, we're changing our panels every year. Of course, the blue sheet people always call, but I think it would be a good idea to have you, one of you, sit on that. In fact, one of the ones is in April to be a part of that process, because you have a lot to do with who gets hired, and people are interested in that topic. We have the Citizens Roundtable too, and we could also maybe look at our Citizens Academy and put a portion in there for Citizens Services presentation.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
And how many town hall meetings are you proposing to hold in the coming year?
They're going to have two every year.
Two per year.
Until nobody shows up.
I figure nobody comes.
And maybe, we don't need anything kind of formal or anything here, but maybe you're the guy to put together a list of sort of public outreach positions where you think we could be helpful or important to add to the mix. And then we'll then distribute out the responsibility.
I think, because we want to be transparent and accessible.
Well, I think the two that right now that I'd like to see participating would be the town for the Citizens Academy, and also probably the next town hall meeting.
So maybe what we're saying is what we now said, the relationship plan with civil service employees, it should be with
the department,
with public and civil service employees. I mean, we've really created this a separate item.
Yeah, the next line, public outreach
activities. Oh, I'm sorry, I've got it in the wrong spot.
No, you're right. I mean, they're kind of interrelated.
Yeah,
one is
you're
talking about the department. Well,
and I think there's definitely two. And you're talking, I think, with one of the lieutenants, that you don't really have a typical show up that before in a department you would have all of your officers at the beginning of the shift, and you could come in and
say, hey, I'm so-and-so, and but you don't typically have it. They hit the street right from their home. So there's not that opportunity unless it's at a guild meeting or something that we can go in and have that outreach.
Yeah, quarterly all-hands meeting.
Okay.
Okay, I think you've given Kate and I enough meat to begin to put these in a priorities list.
Yep.
And we start ticking them down the meeting at the beginning of the year.
I really like the direction we're going too, because I mean, this past year we've done some real architecture as far as our legal status and rules and cleaning that up so that we don't get snagged on some of that. And what I'm hearing for next year is real outreach and coordinating with the department and focusing in on getting the very best people to apply and to join our community. So that's good.
Okay. And is everybody happy with the format, the way we've got this calendar, both backward-looking memory and forward-looking planning? It seems pretty easy tool. I like it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Kate's done a really good job to organize that.
Keep rolling it forward, adding it to it.
Yeah. I might just make 2012 a separate document. Is that all right with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so we talked about officers for next time, and I guess we now have an executive session scheduled to discuss qualifications of an applicant for employment.
Before you do that, I have something to interject.
Okay.
One is a second item for your executive session, which is potential litigation.
Okay.
And before we get to the executive session, this is not subject to executive session, but I wanted to be sure to follow up on Rob's question about the intersection between Civil Service Commission and the collective bargaining agreement, which I didn't have time to talk about the last time since I kept going on and on. So you had asked particularly about the Spokane decision, which is really the crux of the court's rulings on this, which is City of Spokane versus Spokane Civil Service Commission from 1999. And this was an instance where the collective bargaining agreement supplanted the Civil Service Commission rules for how you got promoted to sergeant. So it became part of the collective bargaining agreement instead of pursuant to the Civil Service Commission rules, and the Civil Service Commission balked at accepting that. And so went to court with the Court of Appeals for the 3rd District, Division 3 in Spokane. But they consider themselves all of one court of appeals, so it doesn't really matter, but just a geographically oriented. Ruled as courts generally, I think, throughout the country have ruled on this kind of pendulum swing of what the Civil Service Commissions were set up originally for, and then, as the court points out in history, the Civil Service Commissions were originally set up to protect against nepotism and other kind of corruption in police departments. And they were then set up, but then police officers began to feel that their interests weren't really served as well by that commission. And so collective bargaining in police departments became prevalent and then became the norm. And when the court looked at Washington law, it firmly came down on the side of collective bargaining agreements as trumping Civil Service rules, so that especially in the state of Washington, where collective bargaining is encouraged and supported by law, that when the police guild has negotiated the collective bargaining agreement that would seem to override the Civil Service Commission rules, that the collective bargaining prevails.
So we should look at that agreement and
You should look at the agreement. What the most practical aspect of the collective bargaining agreement versus if you consider it versus, you know, as opposed to the Civil Service Commission in Bainbridge Island, as in most places, is that when there is a dispute about the discipline imposed, that almost always the police officers will choose to go with the collective bargaining agreement as opposed to coming to the Civil Service Commission.
Right.
So it leaves the Civil Service Commission in primarily in the position of being the entry gateway,
right,
as opposed to at where it was often before, and in some places still
mm-hmm.
is, the place where discipline gets litigated and arbitrated.
Right.
So,
okay.
So in that context, the collective bargaining agreement in Bainbridge Island is quite significant for the Civil Service Commission because,
okay.
For example, there's less work for you. For example, there was just I think it's called stage 3 hearing where you actually have an arbitrator deciding the issue on the disciplinary action that occurred last December with the police officers. And that person did not come to the Civil Service
right.
Commission as he could.
And I always, understanding the rule that the collective bargaining agreement predominates, I always took the attitude that it wasn't critical for us because of that very fact, that it really only played in
the disciplinary
side.
So that's the only place
that
we would have any dovetailing.
I guess the question is there anything in the collective, since I've never read it, is there anything in the collective bargaining agreement that relates to our entry work, our work of qualification and recruitment?
But potentially there could be.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't know, would we?
You might not.
I mean, because we're not at the table for that back and forth negotiation, so something could happen there that would trump what we were doing.
Well, presumably the city attorney would, whoever he may be, will
he
tell
or
us
she
when that happens.
Can I?
Well, the department would, because they'd let us know that
they
whatever
know.
We were.
Well, I'll just add to that real quick that there is another collective bargaining agreement also. There's two. Remember, there's the police guild and then the machinist union.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so prior to Will joining us, we had an issue with a hiring process for one of the non-police officer positions. And because of someone's rights under the IAM collective bargaining agreement, they were able to bump back into a previously held position.
Mm-hmm.
And so that trumped the hiring process that the commission at the time was running, you know,
mm-hmm.
interviewing candidates
mm-hmm.
from the, you know, general public. So that person was given that right to bump back into that previously held position.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just mention that because that's mm-hmm. one other time that I can think of.
The reason I say it's conceivable that the entry level stuff could be affected is because this case related to promotional
mm-hmm. and we don't deal with that at all.
But the Civil Service Commission in Spokane did.
Mm-hmm.
So
it
trumped that.
Mm-hmm.
But do we have the potential that we may, for like promotions to a lieutenant
mm-hmm.
or a detective position, we would be creating that interview panel and that process and those questions that are done in that oral board, that we have to make sure that whatever, if Officer so-and-so wants to promote to lieutenant next year, and we create that interview panel, it's in line with what CBA is, because they're then covered because they're an existing employee, and we have to make sure that whatever we create is in keeping with the CBA requirement.
Or it won't make any difference because...
right.
So it's an important aspect of law to keep in mind, that
mm-hmm.
is that collective bargaining agreement really does affect the work
mm-hmm.
of the Civil Service.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuance there.
But going back to the promotion example, I mean, there could be a promotion which could come to us as a grievance if they chose our route, which is
mm-hmm.
unlikely, but if they did, meaning that someone could be arguing that the promotion was given in a discriminatory way.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Alternatively, we could be involved in that exact same event with regard to helping the filtering process. And in fact, we are obligated to be involved in that event. Is that not correct? I mean, if one of your lieutenants retires, Larry, and you're thinking of bringing one of the other officers up to lieutenant status, that has to go through us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something for which we have no set procedures right now.
We have nothing to
do. Yeah, I wasn't aware that we had that.
Did I misstate it?
No, you're right.
Well, they're under Civil Service. The only ones that weren't
the
chief and commander.
But specifically for new hires,
mm-hmm.
whether entry or lateral,
they
have to come through us.
Right.
Now the question is, is the authority there for you to promote somebody to lieutenant?
out of?
No.
I don't know the answer.
No.
I don't what do you think,
Well, no, I don't know the answer to that.
I don't
believe civil service been used before for most people?
Well, I don't know whether it's, I can't answer that. It's something probably would need to be researched.
Yeah, there are promotional exams.
That's called assessment centers. We haven't had one since 2006.
Yeah.
And it did go, looking through the files, it did go through.
Except for temporary appointments, there's been no, I don't remember there's been any promotion.
The last promotion was in 2006, is that what I heard?
The last hiring process, yeah, for a lieutenant. Mm-hmm.
But there's been other lieutenants since 2006. No. The same three people at the
same
three
thing.
Four people have been there since 2000.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that time, I believe the one at that time was an open recruitment. It wasn't just an internal promotion.
So that's why it was filled through us. Right.
Well, that's the question.
So
would internal not go through us?
That's the question.
I think they have to.
And I'll tell you what, we need to get an answer to that because it may be that coming. Are any of these four planning to retire?
Well, there's a possibility you could one for sure.
Yeah, so,
next year
and it may be that the department would want to do an internal promotion to fill that position, and then we'll be looking at that question squarely going, well, do we have a role to play or not?
And I suppose that the question is two-parter. One is, does law say that we have to have a role, or two, does somebody think it's a good idea that we have a role optionally exercise?
Or does the collective bargaining agreement
prohibit having a role?
The collective bargaining agreement says that employee classification shall be defined to set forth in civil service rules and regulations, and then the chief and the deputy chief shall be allowed to perform departmental bargaining unit work on a non-regular basis, and that this is pretty vague about promotion.
Let's make this a topic for a future, because there's a lot to discuss here.
Yeah. And, of course, the collective bargaining agreement is up for negotiation. It may be something that you also want to talk to the city manager about in terms of any concerns you have and what the city wants.
I could see in terms of creating public buy-in and participation in those important decisions.
Yeah, what's the criteria?
An oral panel, as you were saying, could be really important element of credibility for the public.
Well, there always have been panels, whether that's been integrated through the
civil service. Right, but it's handled politically outside the civil service. Okay, well, there's another agenda item.
Yeah.
So,
appreciate that. Well, we're going to go into an executive session. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
For the record, let me say that I am really proud of everything that we've all done this year, and that includes Steve, who's no longer on the commission. But I think
one thing we're
turning
that
off.
Not yet. I think one thing is that we've actually substantively gotten a lot done. We got our list cranked up. We've revised the rules. We've looked at a lot of different procedures. We're beginning to work on the civil service job classification. I mean, real substantive stuff. But on a more symbolic or political level, I'm hoping that the public and the council have walked away saying, oh, yeah, you can actually run this thing without controversy, without undue silliness, without legal violations, and in a credible, competent way. And that's, I think, something we've at least hopefully shown people. And I think we should be proud of ourselves. So
I second that.
All right. Thank you. Let's go into executive session on those two specific items.
15 minutes.
10, 15, what do you think?
How long are you going to take?
Just 5 minutes.
I think 15 would be funny.
Okay, we'll be out for 15 minutes.
Did you want to go first?
And we may take action.
We may take action after the 15-minute executive session, off the record. Okay, we are back in call to order after being in executive session for roughly 15 minutes on one issue of potential litigation, on another issue of qualification analysis of candidates. We do have some proposed action, and I'll summarize a motion that we should entertain now. Um, two
two motions. One motion is entertained to remove from the lateral eligibility list the candidates with the following ID numbers: 6737, 6915, 1431. These are three individuals. These are the numbers that we assign those individuals randomly just to maintain their confidentiality. And reasonable grounds were presented in executive session for having them removed from the laterals eligibility list. Do we have a motion to that effect?
So move.
One caveat. Were you going to have a separate motion regarding 6915?
Yeah.
Yep. Second.
Okay. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. And then a follow-up motion with regard to candidate 6915, in that we potentially could move him from the lateral list that he's just been removed from, over him or her, over to the entry-level list, given the fact that the grounds for removal from the lateral list were solely based on the qualification as a lateral versus an entry. So do we have a motion for adding candidate 6915 to the entry level list?
So move.
Are we moving to add him or to see whether he would be agreeable to being added?
I think it's a proposal and it will be up to that candidate to decide whether or not to continue on that entry level.
Let's call that a friendly amendment to the motion to propose that the candidate agreed to be entered onto the entry-level list, because obviously it's his choice whether he wants to proceed on that different basis.
Okay.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimously passed.
All right.
I think that's it, and that's the end of our last meeting for 2013. Hope that 12?
Yeah.
I had myself there.
Yeah, forward thinking.
Hope you all have a great holiday season, and we'll reconvene next year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.